was really thinking about the chapel, which was obviously very important in her life at Westfield. What exactly was her policy with the chapel, and what did she do in the chapel there?
Well, we had a service in chapel every morning at 8 o'clock, during the course of which was a lesson, and she read it, and she always chose it ad hoc from an absolute unrivaled knowledge of the Bible and the Apocrypha. And it was often extremely appropriate to what was happening, either politically or in college. And it was one of her ways, I think, of getting things over to the students.
Yes.
Do you remember when there was some students roused and they were all squabbling and saying they must have things different? One of her favourite lessons was the one about Rhea Byrne, who listened to the counsel of the young men, not the counsel of the old men. And in the war, she had absolutely magnificent readings. Remember the time of the Blitz?
Yes.
She read the passage about they shall not come into this city. She was a tremendously devoted and patriotic Londoner.
Yes.
She knew her Bible, as few people did, and she knew it with tenderness and humour. I mean, she got absolutely everything out of passages one had never noticed. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the ways in which she communicated herself extraordinarily well, and that's why her talks in New Every Morning had this extreme vividness and immediacy, and what you said, getting inside the mind of the ordinary person.
Mm. What was her idea of the chapel? I mean, did she have a sort of concept of what the chapel should be doing in the college, do you think, particularly? Or was it just that she did what everybody else had done before, but rather well?
No, I think she saw it as an important conversation.
Yes, I think so.
She was a very religious person. She was, she was strongly in favour of the ministry of women. I was on a committee with her about that. I think she saw it as a way which brought religion and historical religion into immediate and personal life. But I would say she was not, I think, a person of a strong religious dogmatism. I mean, she wasn't a violent evangelical or violent Anglo-Catholic or anything like that. She just was a very religious woman and saw it with great relevance to perfectly ordinary life.
Yes.
Do you think that's right?
Yes, I'm sure that's right. She had doubts, hadn't she, about taking the principalship because it was specifically Church of England college, and went and discussed it with Temple.
Who was a great friend of hers.
A great friend of hers. He was very anxious that she should take it.
Yes, that was not because she was not Christian, but because she thought she mightn't be a precise Anglican.
Yes.
She was, I think, an Anglican as much as she was anything, but I don't think that shades of religious difference would have made very much difference to her.
So did she see the chapel as a sort of social centre or an intellectual centre for the college in a way, do you think? I mean, I had the impression that it wasn't just, I mean, the religion wasn't segregated in her mind at all. Religion informed everything else.
I think that's true.
A lot that was going on in the chapel which might in other institutions have gone on in classrooms or tutorials or whatever. Is that wrong?
Well, I'm not quite sure. When she talked to the students, she did at the end of each year, that was something that might very well have gone on in a tutorial. But she wasn't a person who preached. I think she would have regarded the chapel as a very natural place to be. I don't think in going into it she ever put on a special demeanour, because she wasn't that kind of person at all. At May Day, do you remember on the 1st of May, we always had the voice of the turtle.
Yes.
Would was heard in the land, and she always went on to the bit about awake not up, love, till it please. And I think she thought of that as a social and sexual teaching, which was very important for students. I remember her addressed to the students the first year of the war, when the Blitz was just beginning, and we had the parachutists and all that kind of thing. Do you remember that one, Christina? Well, she talked about the enjoyment and appreciation of very small things, the things that you met quite ordinarily in the course of your day's work, whatever it was. And as we were all feeling that we were going to be blitzed at any moment, and the end of the world had come, it was extremely refreshing and heartening, having this entire detachment at the moment. One thought beforehand, what could she possibly say in this situation? And she said something entirely unexpected and very valuable.
And utterly appropriate, as it
utterly appropriate.
Out.
But you would never have thought beforehand that that could have been appropriate, but it was.
Yes, that's very interesting. You see, I had the impression that the chapel for her didn't only involve readings from Orthodox Christian literature, but it could range quite widely, the sort of things that were read out or discussed.
No, it didn't. I've never heard of that outside the Bible chapel.
Plenty inside it.
Plenty inside it.
Just made it big.
Yes, but if you'd happened to be talking to her, I mean, she would never have taken a biblical thing and isolated it. She could have discussed it with complete relevance to a London magistrate's court or a factory or to a classical story. She would never have made an isolation between those things.
Could we go back to the beginning and just ask you, was she an obvious person for Westfield?
I should have said, yes, wonderful.
I mean,
utterly adapted to it.
How did you, in a sense, get the idea of appointing her? What was she, the person, obviously?
Well, I imagine when Miss Chapman retired, we wanted a really very distinguished woman to take that job. She would have been the obvious and outstanding person, wouldn't you?
Yes, I was trying to remember, it was some time ago.
You were on council, didn't you?
Yes, but I wasn't on the committee that did the preliminary work.
She was, in a sense, free at that time, because her husband had died.
Yes,
her husband had died pretty recently.
She was working for the London Council Social
Service. That's it, yes.
But it clearly wasn't a job that stretched her. Mm-hmm. And various people had met her beforehand and been much struck by her distinction. Wasn't Temple
yes,
on the council?
Yes, of course he was a German honor governor's pleasure at the council, wasn't he? I think he was no longer at that stage, but I should think that he probably...
He was a kind of man-made consult.
Yes.
And he had some
energy
for
I think it's very likely.
Yes, so she arrived in the college just before the war.
Yes.
She arrived as principal in September 1939. We all arrived on the same day. Yes, typically.
How did she, can you remember her arriving and what she did and how she settled in? Did she make an impact from the start?
Oh, yes, very much so. Well, I met her as principal first at Oxford. I turned up rather late one evening, and we were all, at least the resident members of the Senior Common Room, were coming in to this large, empty, scruffy, lately evacuated men's college.
Is that St. Peter's?
That's St. Peter's. And our first impression of it, and you better cut this out, was that it was very dirty. In fact, it was. We found bed bugs and other horrors. And I remember cleaning it with lady stocks well before front, you know, brooms and buckets and things, and really getting it clean. that was the kind of thing would have impressed her. You see, here we were, and we'd got to get the thing habitable before we moved into it. And we just did.
And she wasn't in any sense above doing it.
No, she had two rooms, didn't she? Really just the same as any other door.
Yes.
And her, they were used for college meetings. Meetings were often in our bedroom, weren't they?
Yes, and we used to sit on the bed.
She kept her bicycle in her bedroom. Do you remember her remark? We all keep our bicycles in our bedrooms.
Yes. Yes, her bedroom, well, we used the bedroom because we, if five people could sit on the bed. We also met in her study, which was just outside, but it was a very small set, an ordinary undergraduate set. And all the meetings were held there. She always kept it most beautifully tidy, but with any odd kind of thing like the bicycle. At one stage, this keg of beer was there.
Yes.
We all had, we all used to go and get our beer there. And there was usually a basket with her cat and many of its kittens. I mean, it was always having kittens, and they always lived up there.
She was quite austere about personal comfort.
She was very austere, yes.
Yes, she simply wouldn't have noticed what she ate or drank or wore. She looked extremely nice, being rather striking and very springy and very long-legged and very athletic-looking. She could have worn almost any rag and looked nice in it.
Yes, almost, and I just say, I've seen her, it was fisherman's rig.
Fisherman, yes.
They built fisherman's jersey.
Yes.
Sacks, looping it along.
Yes, it was very typical of her. And she had a wonderful fur hat, which went on for years and years. But in these things, she managed to look extremely distinguished, which many people couldn't have.
Yes. Can you explain the extraordinary incident where she was touching somebody's head with her toes?
Oh, yes.
You're responsible for that.
Yes. Well, we were all talking in the common room after supper one night about things we could do and couldn't do, and there were people who could touch their toes, and people who could do certain funny attitudes and their dispositions and things. We tried it. Some of us could and some of us couldn't. And they just talked, said, well, that she could touch somebody's mobbing.
I think she said she could touch any member.
She would touch any member of things. And we said, can you touch the stand? Is the stand being very tall? She could.
And did it.
Oh, yes.
Yes. She was extremely light,
wasn't she?
Yes. She just stood up on her toe and swung her foot up. Like belly dancer, simply touched a very gentle on the head. It is fascinating.
Was that, now why did you quote that in the your obituary note? I mean, was that in some sense typical of her informality, would you say?
I think that is a
typical of her informality, yes. And her physical strength and grace, and the sort of easy terms on which she was with her staff, being at the same time completely dignified. You know, one wonder if one would presume on that. But she could do it.
Mm. How did she, it's a rather big question, but how did she differ from, perhaps you can't answer this, from her predecessors in handling the staff there, first of all? I mean, did she have a sort of policy that was obviously different? I feel it's difficult to distinguish the war from pre-war, really, as a cause of change on that, isn't it?
Well, you knew it's Lodge, and I didn't.
Yes, but I was too junior to be much to have much to say about this Lodge. You knew Miss Chapman. Mm.
And did she, was she noticeably informal in her relationships with the staff then? And unapproachable?
Completely, I should have said.
Her predecessor was completely approachable,
yes.
Too, wasn't she?
And I should think the Lodge was. Well, I
think
probably good heads of women's colleges were, you know. One felt very much, we probably do in many